The message today is going to be walking in the Spirit. I want to review a little bit of what we went over last week in the message last week, because without what we talked about last week, you can't do what we're going to talk about this week. So we're going to look at, start off in Hebrews 2, and I'm just going to read the first four verses of that again this morning and look at that just for a short time, and then move on to where we're going to be in Galatians 5, 16 through 26 is going to be where our focus is going to be today. But to look at, it says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. We're looking at not neglecting that great salvation. And the focus on today, walking in the Spirit, you can't do that without salvation, without having the Spirit of the Lord within you. You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't have the Spirit. So we're looking at that today, and understanding that we can't, we must earnestly heed that word and have that word lead us to salvation. And then in that salvation, we need to walk in it with the Spirit's guidance. So I'm going to jump over for a second in John, just to read one verse in John, which is John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Keeping that in mind as we go through our scriptures today in Galatians. And like I said, the focus of the lesson is going to be walking in the Spirit in Galatians 5, 16 through 26. But I'd like to read 14 before I go into the other. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then we'll move on down to 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do these things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, robbery, and the likes, of which I tell you before, just as I tell you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, which is its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So let's start in this looking at, it says starting off in 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I guess we could probably just stop right there, couldn't we? Because that says it all. If we walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sometimes what we look at is don't do's, what we shouldn't do, which we've got a big long list up here, don't we? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and all these things that we spoke of. But it says here, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't do any of those things, will we? And so that's where our focus should be at, walking in the Spirit. And so we understand it may be better to say marching in the Spirit, shouldn't it? You know, we're Christian soldiers marching as to war, because it's a war, isn't it? There's a conflict going on inside yourself at all times. When you try to walk in the Spirit, that flesh is there, isn't it? Fighting against you, warring against you. And so it's another one of these things in the Bible. It's very simple, but it's very difficult to do. You know, we know these, there's all kinds of things in our life that are that way anyway. We know to eat right and exercise and we'll be in good shape, right? But do we do that? It's very simple, but it's not easy to do. That flesh is warring against even that doing right. It seems like it's even warring against itself, doesn't it, in that case? So I think a more stronger emphasis for us is to start focusing on walking in the Spirit and fulfilling those things. We could spend more time probably on the don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. But if we would focus on what we should be doing and do that, the Bible tells us we won't give in to the flesh. So a lot of times it is what we focus on. And like I say, we know that the flesh is warring against the Spirit and the Spirit is warring against the flesh because they are contrary to one another, it says. Backing up again to John 15:5 to understand that we have to be connected to God, to Jesus, to the branch, to the vine. We as the branches need to be connected to there. Walking in the Spirit, it tells us, will produce certain fruit. But if we're not connected to Jesus, going back to that great salvation, if we're not connected to Jesus, we can't produce that fruit, can we? We're always, I'm going to switch over here. In my Bible, it gives a word focus. And the focus is on flesh. And let me read what it says here. In Greek literature, the word sarx usually meant nothing more than the human body. It was also used this way in the New Testament. However, Paul often used the word to notate the entire fallen human being, not just the simple body, but the entire being, including his soul and his mind, as affected by sin. Thus, Paul often pitted the flesh against the Spirit as being two diametrically opposed forces. The unfaithful can live only in the flesh, but the believer can live in the flesh or the Spirit. Paul repeatedly encouraged the believers to overcome the deeds of the flesh by living in the Spirit. So, to understand what he means by when he's talking about living in the flesh or living in the Spirit, that he's talking not just this human flesh, but in our mind and in our soul, the things that our whole being, and the only way that we can overcome that is through faith in Jesus Christ. The only way we can walk in the Spirit is by having that salvation, understanding that it's faith alone in Christ alone that we can walk in the Spirit. It's funny, it says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You want to do certain things. We can even go back to the way we eat again. We want to eat right, but those things that we want to do, we can't do. And because of that war that's going on inside of us. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. because we understand that last week it was talking about the rewards for our transgressions and our trespasses. That reward is death, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. And with Jesus Christ allowed us to escape that reward. Amen. Always, I mean, I want to focus on the walking in the Spirit, but I don't want us to overlook the part that you got to be, to have that Spirit to walk in, you got to have that salvation. So no way can we ever take our mind and neglect that. But in that salvation and working it out and walking it out, it produces certain things in our life. And that is called the fruit of the Spirit. We're looking at the joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is all through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our love, it's His love. It's not our joy, it's His joy. It's not our peace, it's His peace. It's not our endurance or long-suffering, it's His. We can only do anything we can do nothing unless we're connected to Him. That's what Jesus said in John 15:5. So staying connected with Jesus is going to help us to be able to walk in the Spirit. So the things that we have, nine things here called the fruit of the Spirit, that decisions we have to make every day. We have to decide to have the love of God in our life. Decide to have the joy of God in our life. The peace, the long-suffering, the compassion, the generosity, the integrity, the humility, and the self-control that we have in our life that shows the people that we come in contact. These are the things that are going to lead people to Jesus. This being lived out in our life. When we walk in the Spirit, there's going to be something that draws people to Christ through your walk. And the way that our churches can start having the impact and the power in our city, state, country, our world, is by how much and how often we walk in the Spirit. And our desire should be that no one neglects that great salvation. But then in that, to mentor people into being able to walk in the Spirit. And I think Brother Robert does a great job of that with us, bringing that word out to us that we can put into our lives. And if we be doers of the word, not just hearers only, that impact that it's going to have on our church, on our community, and throughout the world. So we can see why just a little bit of those fruits of the Spirits through this video we watched this morning can have an impact. He's talking about people from the Arab community. Nine different countries have been already affected. People from nine different countries have been affected by just a little bit of love, a little bit of joy, a little bit of peace, and a little bit of generosity. And the endurance that it takes, none of this stuff is easy. You have to be able to walk through this, because it's still a spiritual war. You know, Paul also talked about putting on the whole armor of Christ, didn't he? Put every piece on with prayer. Understanding and visualizing, making a visual note that you're in that war. And that, you know, the other side is not going to let up. They're staying on. In our Sunday school lesson, his tactics is to get us feeling isolated from other Christians and from other people. And then he can bring us down if it cuts us off from, you know, our power supply, which is the Spirit that we share with one another. So how important it is to be here together. And if we're going to live this out, we have to do this. We have to come together, encourage one another, listen to one another's pains and sufferings, and be able to encourage and be a force of rejuvenation for people for each week that you've got to go back out and enter back into this war. This should be a time. The Spartans have had a saying, the more you sweat in training, the less you bleed in battle. So the more we need to be in here training, sweating out the word, learning the word, and as we go out into that battle each day, that we can have more victory. And that victory through Jesus. It's not that we don't need to avoid these don'ts in here, for sure. But if we focus on doing the positives, the less time we'll have for the negatives, or the less impact the negatives that we're going to have on our life. And I mean, we have to stand for something, that's for sure. And these nine things are the things that we should stand for. But, you know, there are certain things that we shouldn't allow in our lives, you know. And, you know, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, sorcery, hatred. All these things shouldn't be in a believer's life. And the way to keep them out is by walking in the Spirit. By walking in them and allowing the Spirit to produce this fruit in your life. And it says, against such there is no law. If you're doing these things, there's nothing that should restrain you from doing them. There's no law against being loving. There's no law against having joy in your life. There's no law against being a peacemaker. Or any one of these things that we, as we walk in the Spirit, there's no law against that. And in that is it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's not our life that we're living out. It's the life that we should be living out for Christ, isn't it? We should each morning lay aside our desires, our fleshly desires, and strive to produce this fruit in our life. And again, this is not easy. This is not something for wimpy people, is it? Because, I mean, it's a full-time job. I mean, day and night, the evil one is trying to devour you, isn't he? It says he roams through the earth seeking who he can devour. And he will devour your witness if you fall into these other things. He'll devour your relationship with God by keeping you separated, if you allow that. So, as we work these things out in our life, it's going to make a massive difference in the impact that we as individuals and we as a church can have on our community and on one another, that we can be an encouragement for one another. That's the big thing about coming in here, that we should be encouragers for one another, and that we should be always have a desire to look out and see what our brothers and sisters are lacking and needing, and to be there and step up. But also for the lost world, we should be stepping out. Again, as it showed on the video, how a little bit can go a long ways to having a strong impact on the people around you. I know this has not been a long message, but it's the message that God laid on my heart. And I think more maybe for myself than anyone else, but to understand that I need to focus more on the do's than the don'ts. you know, and to keep my mind on producing that fruit, but by staying connected to our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep Christ in my heart and in my mind. So when I interact with people that are lost, or even with my fellow believers, that I do it in a way that's loving and joyful and peaceful and enduring, you know, and being kind and good and faithful. All these things should be worked out in my life. So at this time, I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to move into a time of invitation. That if you haven't found this great salvation, today's the day that you could do that. And if you haven't been walking in the Spirit the way that you feel that you should be, today's the time that you can recommit your life to Christ and say, I'm going to try to do that from now on. With your help, I will do that. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Dearly Father, your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. It cuts to the bone and marrow. And I know you can get to the heart of each matter that's in each one of our lives, Lord. And you can supply that power to help us to walk in your Spirit, that we will not give in to the flesh and the lust of the flesh, Lord, that we can have your love and your joy and your peace. And we can be a strong witness to that love, joy, and peace, and to always be encouraged to one another. We pray at this time of invitation, if anyone has anything on their heart, Lord, that they could bring it to you. These things we pray in Jesus' name.